Beloved, we are glad to have you join us for this sermon. We pray that it inspires you, draws you closer to the knowledge of God, and builds your faith. Be blessed as you listen.
Jesus, no one like you. I call. No one like you. Father, no one like you. I like all amount. No one like you. Abba, Father, no one like you. Master, you're the God of everything. No one like you. Thank you, Jesus.
Begin to worship him. Give him all the thanks. Appreciate him. Thank him and thank him. Exalt his name high. Give him all the glory. Give him all the praise. Give him all the glory. Give him all the praise. Give him all the glory. Give him all the praise. Give him all the glory. Somebody, you can do that better. Thank him and thank him. Thank him and thank him. Thank him and thank him. Give him all the glory. Give him all the praise. Give him all the glory. Give him all the praise. Give him all the glory. Give him all the praise. Thank him and thank him. Exalt his name high. Exalt his name high. Exalt his name high. You can pray in the language of the Spirit. You can pray in the language of the Spirit. Ibarakata kataneya. Imorokoto kotonia. Ibarakata kataneya. Ibara ekabaya. Iyakabara katakataneya. Iyakabarokotonia. Ibara ekabaya. Iyakabara katania. Iyakabara katania. Ibara katania. Iborokoto kotonia. Ibara katania. Iboroko boya. Ibara kitiketenia. Iyakabara. Iyakabara. Ebaro ekabaya. Iyakabara katania. Iyakabara katania. Iborokoto kotonia. Iyakabara katania. Iyakabarokotonia. Ibara katania. Iyakabara katania. Iborokoto kotonia. Ibara katakatania. Iyakabara ketenia. Iyakabara katakatania. Iborokoto kotonia. Iyakabara. Ikabaya kiti. Iya kabara kata kata katania, iya kaburoko tonia, mara eka baya, iya kabaroko toko tonia, mara kata katania, e baroko toko tonia. Somebody thank him in the language of the Spirit. Give him all the thanks. Thank him for the answers to every of your requests. Thank him for the answers to every of your requests. Somebody give him all the thanks. Thank him and thank him. Father, we thank you. Blessed be unto you, Lord. In the name. God has called today a day of marital breakthrough. I pray for somebody. Today, every form of marital delays will be cancelled. Any family going through any form of marital challenges, today is your day of liberty. It's your day of freedom. My God will settle you. Amen. Your family will be settled. Amen. Your family will be settled. Amen. Your family will be settled. Now ask God for the word that will settle my family. Lord, I'm ready for that word encounter. Send that word unto me. Send that word unto me. The word that will settle my life and my family. Lord, let that word be sent unto me. 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 I'm ready for word encounter this afternoon. Send that word unto me, Lord. Father, we say thank you. Blessed be unto your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Praise God, 2026 is my year of open doors in the name of Jesus Christ. Congratulations. Put your hands together. Let's comfortably take our seat in his presence. Want to appreciate God and his servant in the house for the privilege given unto me to bring unto us the teaching for this second service. We are still on our theme, engaging the wonders of prayer and fasting. Engaging the wonders of prayer and fasting. I want us to be reminded that the altar of prayer and fasting is the altar of express answers to prayer. The altar of prayer and fasting is the altar of express answers to prayers. In Isaiah chapter 58, verse 9, then shall thy call, and the Lord shall answer thee. I pray for somebody hearing me, your prayers will no longer be delayed. Every request of yours this season will receive supernatural results. Let the amen show it. It's the altar for express answers to our prayers. That is why before the fasting comes to an end, it will be concluded that God has answered my prayers. But the question that we need to ask ourselves, what kind of prayers guarantee answers? What kind of prayers? It's not every prayer that guarantees answers. What kind of prayer? That the week ahead that I need to engage for my answers to be received. James chapter 5, verse 16. James 5, verse 16. Confess your fault one to another. Pray for one another. James 5, 16. That ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, what happens? Availeth much. Now let's go to the Amplified version of this scripture now for better clarity. Amplify. It says, confess to one another, therefore, your faults, that is your slip, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray also for one another, that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. The earnest, which has been explained, heartfelt, continual prayer. The earnest, heartfelt, continual prayer of a righteous man make what? Tremendous power available. Dynamic in working. So what kind of prayer that God will answer? The prayer of the righteous. Somebody say the prayer of the righteous. It's the prayer of the righteous that will receive an answer. The prayer of the righteous. Psalm 34, verse 17. Psalm 34, verse 17. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears. The righteous cry and the Lord hear it. And what happened to them? Deliver them from certain troubles. Deliver them from certain types of troubles. He delivered them what? When who cries? Who cries? What happens to them? God hear them and deliver them. Hear me. If your prayers are not being answered, ask yourself questions. Am I right? God cannot break his word. If God says the righteous prayers will be answered, he meant it. So if your prayers are not being answered, ask yourself, am I living right? Is my life reflecting Christ? Can they see Christ in me? People cannot see Christ in you and see Christ in you. It never worked that way. So ask yourself certain questions. Isaiah 59, verse 1. Isaiah 59, verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shorten at all, that he cannot save. Neither his ears heavy, that he cannot hear. But what has separated us? Our sins have separated us. God is ever willing to answer the prayers of his people. Psalm 68, verse 18. 68, verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I regard iniquity, Psalm 66, verse 18. If I regard iniquity, iniquity is something inside you that man cannot see, but it's only God that sees it. Iniquity. If I regard it in my heart,
the Lord will not what? Hear me. But look at 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1 is ever from all unrighteousness. Please, make sure your life is right, or you will fasten yourself to trouble. Your prayers will not be answered. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. Proverbs 28, verse 13. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. He that covereth his sin. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But whosoever forsake, confesses and forsake them, God will have mercy. This afternoon, God will have mercy on you. I say, God will have mercy on you. What kind of prayers guarantee answers to? The prayer that is heartfelt. Somebody say, the prayer that is heartfelt. The prayer that is coming from your heart. That is heartfelt prayer. The prayer coming from your heart. Jeremiah 29, verse 13. Jeremiah 29, verse 13. And ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with what? So if you are searching for God with all your heart, what happens? You will find him. You will find him. Blessed are they who are pure in heart. They will see God. Some people's hearts are loaded with bitterness. It's loaded with hatred. You can't use your prayer to cajole God. You are in the house. You are not talking to your husband. You are fasting and praying. God have mercy on you. What kind of fasting are you doing? You say, no, I won't talk to him. I won't talk to him. I won't talk to her. I won't talk to him. Stop the fast. And go and do the needful and come and carry on the fasting. The heart is choked with bitterness and anger, with hatred. Somebody is here. The heart is very deceptive. Deceiving people here and there. He said, when your heart is pure, when we talk about something is pure, that means nothing has been added to it. Pure water means no other thing added to it. So until everything is out, God cannot gain access into your heart. The heart is already occupied. It's blocked. So God cannot gain access into that heart. May God help us that our heart will be right. What kind of prayer do God answer? Persistent, continuous prayer. Persistent, continuous prayer. Persistent, continuous prayer. Luke 18, verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. You will not faint. I say you will not faint. What kind of prayer would God answer? The prayer according to his will. 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 The will of God is his word. 1 John 5 verse 14. This is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything, somebody say anything, according to his word, God has no option but to answer you. According to his word. Lazy Bible Christians will never fly in their prayers. The prayer that touches God is what is said concerning his, in his word. That is what, let's learn from this commission. There is no prayer point on a screen without a scripture. That is why God is answering us. We pray for multitude, he brings the multitude. We pray for healing, he brings healing. We pray for settlement, he brings settlement. Why? Every prayer on the screen is attached to his will. And one thing that enforces the hand of God in the direction of man is when you are praying according to his will. This that you are praying, you are fasting, and you are looking at the time. You are looking at the time. You are looking at the time. Hear me. When you are doing that, the time will not move. It will surprise you when you fast and looking at the time, the time will not move. The day that you are not fasting, time goes the whole from morning to if you have not eaten. But when you start to fast, it's like the time has come to a standstill. When you check, it was 5:40. You went back, it's 5:41. Is something wrong with the clock? There's nothing wrong with the clock. There's everything wrong with you. Because you are not engaging the time. So God has stopped the time so that we will engage it. Pray according to, search the scriptures. Search them. Every prayer point must go with the scripture. Every prayer point. You are believing God for settlement. What it does His word says concerning settlement? He will settle the solitary infirmity. You begin to quote it and God says, yes, you are speaking right. Because I cannot lie. My words are my thoughts. And my thoughts are what is in the print. So if you commit me according to my thoughts, you have committed my integrity. I pray for somebody hearing me. This is in your prayers will not be frustrated. What again? Pray in faith. Somebody say, I will pray in faith. Pray in faith. Matthew 21, verse 22. Pray in faith. Matthew 21, verse 22. And all things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, what will happen? Please keep your faith alive. The devil notwithstanding, your door, no man will shut it. Your breakthrough, no man will tamper with it. Keep your faith alive. He does not stop prayers. He answers them. This last week, you will see God as never before. Mark 11, 24. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive, and ye shall have them. Then lastly, how do we have our prayers answered? Thanksgiving prayer. Somebody say thanksgiving prayer. Don't come murmuring. Thanksgiving prayer. Be careful for nothing. Philippians 4, verse 6. But for everything, by prayer, one, supplication, two, then you add thanksgiving to it, then your requests will be granted. For somebody, God will grant your request. Among the blessedness of prayer and fasting is outbreak of revelation. Outbreak of revelation is what God shows a man that makes him or her a show. It's what God shows you. Outbreak of revelation. That is why in this season, those who are addicted to the world will be catching some dangerous revelation. They will no longer be crawling, but they will be flying. And don't be surprised when they are flying because they have caught the light. You can't catch light and darkness will humiliate you. I pray that this season God will open your spiritual eyes. Jeremiah 33 verse 3. Call unto me and I will answer and show you what great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Today, get set for an encounter in this service. Somebody say, I am set for my own encounter. Recognize that every prophetic word is a sworn verdict. Sworn verdict by God. And it is settled in heaven forever. Every prophetic word. God has sworn in his word. And it's already settled in heaven. Prayer and fasting is what facilitates what God has said concerning you. Look at Isaiah chapter 14, verse 24. Isaiah 14, verse 24. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so it shall what? Come to pass. And as I have purposed, so it shall what? Stand. When God swears, his purpose becomes irreversible. Whatever he has said concerning you will not be reversed. Whatever he has declared concerning you will never be tempered with. When you jump to verse 27 of the same chapter 14, for the Lord of hosts has purposed. Who shall disannoy it? His hand is stretched out. Who shall turn it back? When God swears, his word become irreversible and unquestionable. You can't stop the agenda of God. Hear me. The sworn verdict has gone forth in Revelation 3, 7 to 8. That is our year of open door. Greater doors will be opening unto us. Psalm 119, verse 89. For, O Lord, thy word is what? Settle in where? That means it's not subject to time. It is not subject to circumstances. And it's not subject to opposition. When God speaks, time cannot frustrate it. When God speaks, circumstances cannot change it around. And when God speaks, open to lift up your right. This season will never be tempered with. The doors that have been open for you this season will never be stopped. Every agenda of the enemy is humiliated. Your miracle doors will remain open. Marital doors will remain open. Career doors will remain open. Let the amen show for it. Including prophetic verdict on marital settlement. Hear me, this year, we will see commotion of wordings. The ones ordained by God, they will be gloriously married. It's a sworn verdict. Look at Psalm 68, verse 6. Psalm 68, verse 6. God setteth the solitary in family. Therefore, marital settlement is not a request. It's a divine verdict. Somebody say it's not a request. It's a divine verdict. It's already settled. It's already settled. I want all the singles to say, marital settlement is not a request. It's a divine verdict. Say it aloud so the people know that you are single, you are ready to get married. It's a request. It's a what? Don't be hiding. You are the one deceiving yourself. If I were you, I'd be standing up. Marital. So that they will know that you are ready for it. Are you not ready to be married? You look at them. God will have mercy on you. I pray that anyone ready in this season, their testimony will not be corrupted. So we need to align with what God's word says. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Look at the prophetic verdict. Genesis 2, verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet. God saw it. Loneliness is not God's will for you. So God has seen that it is not good for you to live alone. Today, any delay in your marital destiny, they will be broken today. Every prophetic scripture is a covenant that remains in force as long as the earth remaineth. As long as the earth remaineth. Every prophetic scripture applies for all time to whosoever believe. Applies for all time. Every prophetic scripture, it applies for all times to whosoever believe. Prophetic scriptures are timeless. They are timeless. They are timeless. They are timeless. They cannot be restricted by generation, cannot be restricted by culture or season. They apply at all time and to whosoever believe it. But hear this. Faith is the access key that make prophetic promises personal. Faith is the access key that make prophetic scriptures or prophetic promises personal. Hear me? Don't be deceived. 2026 open door. It's not everybody's door that is going to be open. Some people, it's a slogan. But if you believe it in your heart, that promise becomes personal to you. Don't be deceived. Everybody be shouting. That's why at the end of the day, where is the door that open? It is not that the door didn't open. You did not believe. Let your faith come alive. Prophetic promises. Faith is the key to access to the promise, prophetic promises. But when faith is engaged, that promise becomes personal to you. I believe, God, that your own season of open door will not be frustrated. Recognize that we are in a year of our open doors. Somebody say we are in a year of open doors. So everyone should expect opening of supernatural doors of favor this year. I told somebody to say a bigger amen. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. Revelation 3, verse 7. And to the angels and to the church in Philadelphia, write, this thing seeth that it's holy. He that is true, that he has a key of David, and he has opened it, and no man shut it. And shut it, and no man opened. But look at verse 8. I know thy works. Behold, because I know your works, I have set before you what? An open door. And no man can what? Because I know thy works. God is a wise God. The open door is not for everyone. No. I know your works. I know your commitment. I know your sacrifice. I know your dedication. I know you are serving the cause of my assignment. So the door is me that I'm going to open it unto you. Can I plead with us this season? Don't be a casual person in this move of God. Don't be casual. God will not break his work because you come to church every Sunday. There is another dimension of how to activate the blessings of God. He said, I know thy works. Now the question is, what kind of work are you doing for him? That you want him to open the door for you? Do you want him to open the door for you so that we'll not even see you in church again? That door will not be open. Because you are not committed already. You come once every month and say, God, it's my year of open door. I'm not God. I would have even, when you come here, I would just... There was some day we had, when we were in school, we had these guys, anytime we go for church service, after the dance, after the praise and worship, they will all sneak out. When it's time for word, you will not see them again. They will come and dance after they go. So we pray a prayer that God, we are believing this time. When they come, let them stay. That day, when they came in, there was a very massive rain that nobody could step out. To cut a long story short, most of them gave their life to Christ. So you see how God works. So God will open a door that will favor his cause. God's servant last Sunday was admonishing us to register for the squad. When we're watching the clip by God's servant, he made a humorous statement that this year, every winner is a prayer person now. It confirmed what we were being instructed last Sunday. And some people are still here and say, I'm going to pray about it. Forget. You don't need prayer to join his work. It's one thing that I'm telling you, you don't need prayer. When the need is there and you dive into it, you have committed his integrity. He said, I'm going to pray. When you don't strike and the iron is hot, by the time you come, the iron is cold. And if there's no fire, the iron cannot be heated again. It's already gone. Please, God will only open the door for those who are enlisted in his army. Because he knows when the door is open unto you, that door will not use for self-glorification, but for kingdom advancement. May God give us the grace to align with every instruction. Look at Psalm 102, verse 13. Psalm 102, verse 13. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, the set time is what? It's come. Now let's read verse 14 together now. Verse 14. Let's go. For thy servant and favor the dust thereof. Thy servant, thy servant, thy servant. Look at Psalm 35, verse 27. Psalm 35, verse 27. Let them shout for joy and let them be glad that favored my righteous cause. Let them say continually, the Lord be magnified, which had pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. You can see his servant, not bosses or managing directors who are sitting there that day. You know, you come in here, you can see everything wrong, but you can't see anything good. Whatever that you are saying, it is wrong. Dive into it and go and make it good. That's the instruction that God is giving us. Please, you can pray. The prayer is even easier now. You are not coming to church. Wherever you are, you can pray. Please, enlist in this army. Be part of the move of God and see how God will move your destiny for it. On this day of marital breakthrough, we must understand the marital challenges here include spells of marital delays, no suitors coming forth, broken engagement, marital unrest, incessant separation, divorce stress, marital delay, prolonged marital delay. I pray for everyone. Every wrong pattern or cycle of delay against anyone's destiny is terminated right now. Lack of suitors or serious proposal. Every form of veil of rejection, intimidation, covering anyone's marital destiny in this service, they will be destroyed. Isaiah 60 verse 1, I say, arise, shine, for thy light has come. Somebody say, my light has finally come. Any form of repeated broken relationship or engagement, I decree that they are canceled right now. Isaiah 43, 18, he said, behold, I'll do a new thing and it shall show forth. For you and your family, God will do a new thing. I say, God will do a new thing. Every form of threat to divorce is canceled right now. Can I say this? God hates divorce. God hates it. God hates it. It is clear, Malachi chapter 2, verse 14. Technically, look for the easy to read version for us. Let's see what Malachi chapter 2, 14 to 16 says. Look for the easy to read version so that everybody will understand and get the meaning of what God is saying. Look for it for me now quickly. Malachi chapter 2, 14 to 16. Whilst I read from what I have. He said, you ask, why are your gifts not accepted? Why does he reject it? Because the Lord was witness to the covenant made at your marriage. God was there between you and the wife of your youth, against whom you have dealt treacherously, and to whom you were faithless. Yet she is your companion and the wife of your covenant made by your marriage what? Vows. Let's go to the next one. And did not God make you and your wife one flesh? Did no one make you and preserve your spirit alive? Why? Did not God make the two? Because he sought a godly offering from you. Therefore, take it to yourself and let no man deal treacherously or faithless to the wife of his youth. Verse 16. For the Lord, God of Israel, says, I hate what? I hate what? And what? And him who covers his garment, his wife, with violence. Therefore, keep a watch upon your spirit, that it may be controlled by my spirit, that you will deal not treacherously or faithlessly with your marriage mate. God hates divorce. God hates it. You are here. You are planning. All that is happening is going on. Your heart is just bitter here and there. God hates it. Why? Let me give you some few facts. Why do God hate divorce? One, it produces deep wounds. Produces deep wounds. God hates divorce because it brings about emotional pain, betrayal, bitterness, and long-term damage. Long-term damage. Particularly against the children. Can I shock you with this? Every child needs a male and a female to mold them. You can only be one. You can only be one. That is why God, in his wisdom, gave two to ensure that that child is well aligned. Particularly, if you have a girl and a boy, can I shock you? There are certain things that the boy may not take from you as a mom. Some of them, we do that religiously. But inside them, you can't talk to me. But the male figure is there to give out the best to that one. Please, don't initiate anything that is going to jeopardize the destiny of this one. I tell people humorously, even if you don't want it to work, for the sake of the children, let it work. Because of what is happening now, and particularly in the nation that we are, that people are talking about partners and not wives, don't be shocked and say, mommy, this is my partner. That is not mine. Because he has learned from the home that he's coming from. We need to sit up and give the best to our children. Why? Why can't we control ourselves? The person that you marry at the start was not a devil. I believe if you knew it was a devil, you would not marry. Something has gone wrong and that thing needs to be addressed. There is a spiritual dimension to every marriage. Hear me. Marriage is not just contract, it's covenant. Somebody says covenant. If you neglect the covenant aspect, it becomes a contract. We can be a stop anytime. I mean, you taking some contract that you decided to go and cancel. After 2 years, when you are fed up with it, you don't want to renew it again. That's a contract. Most of you on your phone, after 2 years, you say, no, I'm moving. You can change every year when it expires. But marriage has no expiring date. So it is more than a contract. It's a covenant. Somebody say it's a covenant. May God embrace us. Divorce is often the fruit of hardened hearts. Hardened hearts. Hardened heart. Jesus taught that divorce became common because of the hardness of the heart. Look at Matthew chapter 19, verse 8. Matthew 19, verse 8. Put that on the screen so everybody will see it. Matthew 19, verse 8. He said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wife. Now let's read the last part together now. But it was not what? It was not so. Hardness of your heart? Me, nothing will change me. I've made up my mind. You can't go anywhere. Your destiny is in jeopardy. Your destiny, God hates it. And if God hates it, then know that if God is not with you, everything can be against you. But that will not be your testimony. I said that will not be your testimony. Secondly, we must have respect for the terms of the covenant. Somebody say, I must have respect for the terms of the covenant of marriage. Wives, submit yourself unto your husbands as unto the Lord. Submit yourself unto your husbands as unto the Lord. Ephesians 5, verse 22. Wives, submit yourself unto your husbands as unto the Lord. So if you are not submitting to your husband, what are you doing to the Lord? What are you doing to the Lord? So stop that prayer and fasting. Stop it. Because it's not flying anywhere. Submit in everything. Somebody say in everything. He didn't say certain things. He said this one, yes. But that one, no go area. May God have mercy on you. As I told you the last time, went to a family house. They were in fighting. There to go and settle the issue. Got in there. The wife came out. Rushed the door. He said, Pastor, God bless you. Prostrated several times. God bless you. God bless you. The man stood up. He said, sir, can you ordain me? I said, what? I said, Pastor. I said, why? What my wife did to you, if he has done that to me, you will not be here. Hypocrite. You see as you are bowing, but at home you are a giant. Stop that. Stop that. If you are bowing to us and you are not doing the same thing at home, it's hypocrite. Stop it. Am I married to you? You are buying your head. You know something. Stop that. Do your first thing first. And see how God will be blessing you. This bowing, bam, bam here will not take you anywhere. Do it at home. All the ladies say that we'll do it at home. Say it very loud. Make it very loud. Those who run into, they are not saying it. God forgive you. Hear me. Wives are instructed to submit to their husband as unto the Lord. Not as an act of inferiority, but an expression of honor, trust, and divine order. An expression of honor. All the wives say honor, trust, and divine order. So it's divine order. But the men, hear this. Don't be laughing. Hear this. Submission works best where love, responsibility, and godly leadership are present. Where love, responsibility, and what? Godly what? This time you are sleeping. Let's pray. You don't want to pray. What kind of respect do you want to gain? Have you forgotten that you are the spiritual head? And when you look at the head, the eyes are on the head. The nose are on the head. The ears are, all the sense organs are on the head. So as a man spiritually, you must be taking the lead. We have God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. We don't have God of Sarah, God of Naomi, God of, no. You are the head of the home. Take responsibility. And when you take responsibility, that recognition will come. Stop announcing yourself, I'm the husband, and take responsibility. Everybody knows you are the husband. What is the problem with it? Take your responsibility. Men say, we'll take our responsibility. I'll take my responsibility. I'll take my responsibility. Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Nourishing, honoring her. Nourishing and honoring her. Love your wife. Honor her publicly and privately. Don't deceive yourself. You come outside, you are laughing, but when you get home, you are bitter enemies. You are just showing off to. Who are you showing off to? Charity begins at home. It must start from home. Honor her. You talk to her anyhow. No recognition in the sight of your sibling. My young brother is in this year, she knows. If you dare take anything against my wife, that'll be the end. One of them tried. I cut her off. She came back weeping and apologized. I said, next time, you better. Because whatever affect her, doubly affect me. So if you are speaking against her, know that you are speaking twice against me. And I'll take action. Let's honor our wives. The family have no respect for your wife because you have said all kinds of things. You go home, they don't even recognize your wife. But you have forgotten that the beauty of every man is in the glory of their wives. The beauty of every man is in the glory of their wives. If there is anyone to honor, it's your wife. This anger and bitterness will not take you anywhere. I don't want to talk to him. We are not talking. You went to the office. A young girl offended you. The next day, you even bought her a gift. God forgive you. But when you go home, you are the lion of the tribe of Judah. God have mercy on you. God never commands submission without commanding love. Where husbands love like Christ, submission flows naturally. It flows naturally. But today, beware of waiting for your spouse to align with his or her part of them before you genuinely align. Your spouse will follow suit if it's only a matter of your faith. But I pray that God will grant us grace. Now, to be settled in marriage, one, quickly, because of time. To be settled in marriage is a good thing. Somebody say marriage is a good thing. Somebody say marriage is a good thing. The young ones, can I admonish you? Don't let anybody's marriage corrupt your mentality. The fact that it is not working for them does not mean it will not work for you. Because everybody takes responsibility of how to run their home. Don't be confused. Marriage is good. Marriage is honorable. It's a one who chase how many? Two who chase how many? Do the calculations now. God's word is true. So I want to challenge you. It's not every marriage that there is a fight. It's not every marriage. No. No. God's servant has shared his testimony. All our fathers in the Lord have the testimony. If there's nobody to look at our father in the Lord. Not every marriage is bad. Yours will not be tempered with. Why are many people not experiencing peace in their marriages? Let me show you some few things now. Why? Marriage is ordained to be peaceful, joyful, and fulfilling. Why? Because certain spiritual laws are being neglected. Certain spiritual law. Marriage is God's idea. And it must align with God's instructions. The first neglect is lack of alignment with God's word. Lack of alignment. Most marriages are no longer following covenant principles. Can I shock you with this? If you are a reader of the Bible, you know that the Bible teaches about love. That the Bible teaches about love. And it says love your neighbor as what? Who is your most, if that is right, your mostest neighbor? It's not the one in your noise door. It's the one by your side. He's your neighbor. He said, love her. That's yourself. So if you are not loving, you are not scriptural. God's servant has been mentioning this. Six packs. Young ones, don't marry six packs. So marry scriptural pack. Six packs, they will pack you somewhere. But spiritually, they will correct themselves. Because marriage teaches about forgiveness. So if you are a man, a woman, and you are not forgiving, what kind of Bible are you reading? Some of you have a book of record. Last 2 years, you know, you did that. This Christmas, you repeated the same thing. I have the record. Last Sunday, may we ask you the scripture that was quoted? You have no idea. But you can keep records of evil. But if you read your Bible, you align with the instructions of the Bible. May God give us the grace to align with every biblical instructions. So ladies, look for somebody. It's not everybody in church that is in touch. Don't be deceived. They saw you, that's why they have entered. But Bible says, by their fruits, You are talking to this man, has everything in the heart, though. This country is killing me. He's not a winner, he's a loser. There's no scripture in his mouth. There's nothing to sustain him or her. Look for people who are personal touch with God. And they are always being corrected. They are sharing with you. I read that scripture. It touched me. I wasn't doing this before. But after I saw this, I began to position my life. There are the people that you must celebrate in your life. I trust God that God will help us. Our marriages will never hit the rock. In the name of Jesus Christ. What are we looking for? God settles the family in solitary. Psalm 68, verse 3. And also, in addition, we must understand that every challenge marital destiny, such as marital delay, marital crisis, are mostly oppressions of the devil. But today, that devil will give up. I said that devil will give up. Hear this. As much as we have the spiritual aspect, young one, listen to me. Actively work on your character. Somebody say, I work on my character. I've written over here, marriage is not found, it is prepared for. It is prepared for. Character is a currency of marital glory. Character is a currency for marital glory. Character is a currency for marital glory. Marriage does not correct character. Character determines the quality of your marriage. Marriage does not correct it. Work on your character. People cannot come to you because you talk anyhow. Carelessly. You dress anyhow. Even the way that you walk, there is no attraction to any person. No! You eat anyhow. You go for occasions. The man is watching you. After they have served you, you carry a carrier bag. You put one food inside. This man say, this woman will drain my resources. Work on your character. Manage yourself well. It's a currency of marital glory. May God embrace us that we'll put ourselves right. I say we'll put ourselves right. I say we'll put ourselves right. But faith, coupled with prayer and fasting, will destroy any opposition of the wicked. That is why I know today your liberty has finally come. But to realize our glorious marital destiny, one must be saved and remain in love with God. Be saved and remain in love with God. Two, remain committed to kingdom advancement endeavors, as we have already said. Then three, beware of pride. Somebody said, I'll beware of pride. I'll beware of pride. Pride is a silent destroyer of peace, honor, and stability in home. Let me say this. Pride resists correction. Anybody that resists correction is proud. It's very, very proud. Pride rejects submission. So if you are not submitting, you are very proud. And proud or pride dishonor God's order in marriage. Pride. Now look at what the Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 6. James 4, verse 6. Pride, God resisted the proud, but gave grace unto who? The humble. Resist the proud. So hear me. Anybody being proud, they are being fought by God. And at times, God permits certain situations to humble you. To humble you. A couple one time came to my office in my previous station. And you can see the spirit of arrogance everywhere. I told them, what you are doing now, a time will come that you will regret what you are doing. It was to do with this COS, that husband and wife, they have to settle and just manage things peacefully. This one was just arguing here and there, fighting, and everybody, you could see that pride has eaten both of them. Well, to cut a long story short, they had every means to switch to get a better offer. But because everybody was very proud, it ended up, the last time they called me, they have overstayed, that they were asking me, "Go, Pastor, what should we do?" I said, go home. Go home. And anytime they call me, I will not change it. Because I know where it started from. And I knew where that thing was taking them to. Now that you have hit, you need my prayer. Prayer for what? No, you cause it. Because the proud is being resisted by God himself. If God is resisting you, can I help you? Can I help you? So anybody that is proud, resisting correction, living in unforgiveness, it is not man that humbles you. It is God himself. May that not be you. I say, may that not be you. Look at Proverbs chapter 18, verse 12. Proverbs 18, verse 12. Proverbs 18, verse 12. Quickly. Proverbs 18, verse 12. Before destruction, the heart of man is what? Can you see? So before the destruction came, it was the man who initiated it. But before the honor is what? Make your choice today. Make your choice today. When pride persists, it permits certain circumstances to humble us. But that will not be you. That will not be you. But if the proud remain unrepented, God will eventually abase them. Look at Luke 14, verse 11. Luke 14, verse 11. He that exalted himself shall be abased. For whosoever exalted himself shall be abased. And he that humbleth himself shall be what? Exalted. May we receive the spirit of humility. That issue can be solved. It can be solved. When I was getting into marriage, one scripture that shaped me, that really turned me around, is when I read that Noah in the ark stayed with all kinds of beasts. There was nowhere in the scripture that he complained. So no matter what, if you have really fortified yourself, staying with your wife shouldn't be an issue. It's a matter of being humble to be taught. Be humble to learn. Some of you are too knowledgeable than God. You quote scripture, they quote you out of the house. But this man, when we started, you were the one that you were even leading me. You were even guiding me. You were even directing me. But because of hardness of heart, look at where we are. Can I shock you with this? Some of you, where you are not meant to be there. You were meant to be at the top by now. But because of the hardness of your heart, rise to your feet. God, give me a grace. Rise to your feet. Begin to appreciate him. Begin to appreciate him. Ask God, Lord, embrace me. Every spirit of pride, eating my marital destiny, eating my home, affecting my marital dignity, this afternoon, let them be destroyed. Somebody talk to God now. You don't talk, no correction, nobody can correct you. Even not the word of God, you walk over it. When the word is even hitting you, you are training to somebody who's not here. Somebody must come to hear this word. It is you that the word is speaking to. Not that person who's not here. It is you. Ask God, Lord, the grace to align with your instructions. The grace to flow with it. Let that grace be released upon me. Somebody make that prayer now. Make that prayer now. Make that prayer now. Make that prayer now. Lord, the spirit of humility, spirit of obedience to every covenant marital instructions, release upon me. Release upon me. Release upon me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Some of you are even too proud. Now you go against tithing. You started tithing before. You started tithing before. But you are too big that now, you know, tithing was done in the old days. So now it doesn't need to be. Okay. The old days is the old. Now the Lord, he say Psalm 23, the Lord is what? Is he in the New Testament? No, is he in the New Testament? Is it where? Oh, some people are saying that it's the New Testament. God forgive you. Psalm 23 is in the Old Testament. He said tithing is the Old Testament. So it's meant for the old. But the Lord is my shepherd. It's in the New Testament. That is for me. God forgive you. God forgive you. Align with biblical instructions. And you'll be flying. You'll be scaling height. Your testimony will not be corrupted. Your destiny will not be frustrated. The plan and the purpose of God for you will not be tempered with. In the name of Jesus Christ. With our eyes closed. With our head bowed. Causes have no hold on the redeemed. You have no hold. Marital year, spells, enchantment year and day. Is against those who are not in his kingdom. But when you move kingdom, your destiny has shifted. You are no longer being held down. He says, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? With our eyes closed, our head bowed, say, Jesus, I need you. My life has not been as expected because I have moved away. But this afternoon, I want you to redirect me to where I am meant to be. We have closed our eyes. You want to make that prayer from your heart. It's only the humble that will accept the word of today and surrender to the authority of Jesus Christ. Lift up your right hand wherever you are. You want Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior? Do it wherever you are. Nobody is looking at you. You need that personal touch. The restoration. God is set to dignify you and your family. Lift up your right hand wherever you are. Lift it right. If you have lifted up your right hand, God bless you. Take a bold step. Come to the altar and I'm going to pray with you now. Your right hand is up. Please take that bold step. Nobody's looking at you. Come to the altar now so I can pray with you now. Church, let's celebrate Jesus as they make that bold step. As they make that bold step. Take that step of faith. Take that step of faith. Take that step of faith. Come to the altar. Come to the altar. Jesus is set to deliver you. He's set to set you free. He's set to dignify you and your destiny. You are joining. Quickly join now. Quickly, we are waiting for you now. Take that bold step 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 now. Come to the altar for you to be prayed for. Come to the altar now. Take that bold step. Take that bold step. You will need an encounter with Jesus. Take that bold step in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Those of us in front, put your right hand on your chest and say these prayers after me. Lord Jesus, thank you for your grace that has located me. Today, I declare you as my Lord and personal Savior. Come into my heart, die with me, and restore me to glory and dignity. Thank you for the grace in Jesus' mighty name. And now I pray for you. Upon this confession, the blessings of today will speak for you and it will answer for you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you for taking this bold step. One of our pastors is just on my right side, waving you over there. You just want to have a brief moment of your time. Our pastor on my right hand side. Church, let's celebrate Jesus.
We believe you were blessed by this sermon. For more messages like this, you can join us at Winners Chapel International, Birmingham. Call us on 0121-622-1662 or email us at info.birmingham@winners-chapel.org. Don't forget to follow us on all our social media platforms. God bless you, and we look forward to you joining us again next time. Jesus is Lord.